Pickaxe.
Hey y'all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the comfort zone.
I don't know why I said that
in such a scary, intimidating way. It should have been more like...
Welcome to the comfort zone.
Welcome, traveler, to the comfort zone.
Traveler.
So now you're all relaxed.
Yeah. Hi. How's it going? Hope you guys are having a good day.
We are going to be listening to dreams and
hell yeah.
Trying to analyze them in highly scientific fashion.
Very scientific. We're full of science here in this podcast. We always are.
100% science.
Professional.
Very professional.
Very professional. So have you had many dreams lately? Brian.
I have actually been having quite a few dreams recently. It's been nice. I don't know what it is, whether it's just because the weather has cooled down a bit, so I'm not just thrashing around like a stuffy panda. I don't know what the saying is.
Big sweaty mess.
Yeah, so maybe my dreams have come back to me now. They've not been steamed straight out of my head.
Just evaporate out of your brain.
Yeah. The condensation of dream has been allowed to settle inside my head. Oh, again, yeah. Science. How it works. How about you?
My dreams have been very fragmented lately, honestly. Like, the one that I've got today, I can't remember which one it is, but I know that out of the ones that I've been recording recently, they're very all over the place. Last night I had a few dreams, but it was literally just me doing stuff that I did during the day. Like, you know, this new AI art generator that everyone's using. Like,
yes.
I was dreaming that I was just using that and that was it. And stuff like that. Like, dreaming that I'm playing a video game and it's just nothing noteworthy at all. It's like my brain is just thinking, you did this in the day. Let's just think about that. Let's just unpack this. But it doesn't get any further than that. But the dreams I have had have been very weird.
I had quite a scary dream last night that I didn't record. But, okay, spoilers if anyone hasn't played The Quarry yet. Stop listening for like 10 seconds. Have you played it?
I have, yes.
Oh, of course you have. But I watched you play it. But I had a dream that there was a certain breed of dog that would turn into a werewolf.
Oh.
And I kept on just seeing these dogs everywhere. And I would just be like, oh, any second now, it's going to chase me.
What breed was it?
It was just like a big, I don't think it's a breed that even exists. It was basically like a massive version of like a border collie if it had the same hair as an Alsatian.
Ooh.
It was like a merge of the two.
Cute.
And I would like walk past fields and there'd be one in there with the sheep and then all of a sudden it would just be like, and I'd be like,
oh, oh no.
It was, but yeah, it's just because I was playing Quarry last night. So it was just a very literal dream from my brain there.
How are you enjoying the Quarry? Because you don't get on very well with spooky games, right?
I'm enjoying it because I'm playing it with... like three other friends over Discord. Mm-hmm. And I think because it's not just me on my own focusing on it,
yeah.
It takes some of the immersion away, but in a way that's better for me to enjoy it, if that makes sense. And I'm playing it with one of my friends has played it a lot before, and she's also like watched loads of streams of it. So she basically knows the effect that every single decision has.
Oh my gosh.
And every time, because we've like divided it up so we all have two characters each, and every time you do anything, she'd be like, oh, you did
that. Interesting.
And you're like, what? You can't tell if it's like, I can't read into her voice if it was a good thing or a bad thing. If it means like I survive or I'm about to get ripped apart or like, I don't know.
Oh no. I'm like that with Until Dawn. I can't play Until Dawn now. I've never played it through myself, but I've seen so many playthroughs. I know what every decision does. and yeah, if I watch anyone play it, I'm like, oh, okay. Interesting.
You did that, did you?
I see.
It's got to the point where there are certain chapters where she's like, I'm just going to mute myself. And I can just picture her there, headphones on, just like, no, idiot, stop it. And I'm just there like, go down the path. Okay, la 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 la.
Oops, we're dead.
So far, we have all survived, but we're still quite early on.
That's good.
So
I played it with Melancholy, and we managed to do pretty well to begin with. Then there was one character that we killed on purpose, or I killed on purpose. and we were fine until the end, and then it all just went tits up. So it was a very good run. Very good. Very successful.
great
but
success.
Very fun game though. Like, it's one of those games that we finished it and I was like, God, I want to play it again. I just want to play it again straight away.
I didn't realize it had so much replayability because, like, Alex has played it through once and he's playing it through with us. And he was saying, like, already quite early on, we've already gone down like a whole different direction that he went down, sort of thing. So
that's cool.
I just, it's like with what's it called? What is that game? It's like the detective-y one, and it's very noir, and you play like a drug addict.
Oh, Disco Elysium.
Disco Elysium.
Disco Elysium.
Alex and Tom both played that at a similar time, and then they were talking about it. And Tom was like, oh, yeah, this bit where blah, blah, blah. And Alex was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I had none of that. Like, mine went, it was just so, such separate paths, which I love in games. That's so well written because you get these games where it has like the illusion of choice and it will be things like, do you want to bite the ice cream? And it's like, yeah, I love ice cream. Or, of course, I'll bite the ice. And I'm like, those are the same choice. You're not actually choosing anything. You're just pretending you've given me a choice.
Or you choose something and it just railroads you in a completely different direction. Like, hell yeah, I'll bite the ice cream. And then your character just drops it. And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Disco Elysium, I've heard some really good things about, though. That's really good for stuff like that. I had a similar thing with Ravs and Lydia talking about it. Like, they would talk about one thing and the other one would be like, that never happened. I didn't do that. So yeah, there's just so many different things you can do. I need to play it. I think I've got it now, but I just haven't started it yet.
Yeah, I started it but didn't get particularly far because it was just sort of like a lazy weekend. Or just load it up and see what it's like. But yeah.
Yeah, I definitely need to try it. Right.
Speaking of interesting stories, how about we hear one of these little dreams? Which probably aren't actually that interesting. I can't remember. I have two dreams today and I can't remember what either of them were.
All right. Get out the bingo. Wrestlers. Piss. animals.
Animals?
Yep. That's it. There's only three squares in this bingo.
Yeah. If you get, none of them are in a line either, so you can never actually win.
Okay, let's do it.
So I had this dream that I was like a news presenter in the 80s, but then it cut to, I was like, I think meant to be Batman, and I was in this bathroom with the Joker, but there was like another baddie that I just couldn't deal with. I was like, no. And I was saying to the Joker, like, I just want to be rid of him. I just can't. And so the Joker, like, pulled back this door that had all this, like, television static behind it. And was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. And then he slammed the door and he was like, you'll never see them again. I was like, okay. And then I went back to my job as a TV presenter. And I went to sit behind the desk and the, like, producer who was played by, is it Packer in The Office? When it was like, what are you doing? Like, what's, like, get out of there. You're not a TV presenter. How dare you? And it turned out I was one of the, like, they had these, like, dancers that went on before the news. And it was, I think it was all meant to be that I had, by, you know, allowing the Joker to do this thing, I had upset the balance. And I was like, fine, I'll just have to prove myself. So I was doing this, like, aerobics dance. It was, like, very 80s aerobics dance. Just like, yeah, I'm going to work my way back up. I'm going to be behind that desk again. That's what I remember. It was just very strange. Yeah. Bye-bye. I just remembered I had another dream that I was doing, like, a pirate treasure hunt, and there was, like, three teams, and the two teams of four, and then I was just on my own, and we had to follow all of these clues, and it was a bit like Sea of Thieves. I can't remember any of the clues, but it was like having to travel between different islands, and eventually there was like one of the people on one of the teams was just quite like smug, but not in like a super bad way. I don't think they meant to be, but they were just very much like kept checking in how I was doing so they could be like, oh, well, you know, we are ahead sort of thing. And I was just like, I'm on my own. But I did actually do better than the other team. And I got to the treasure first. But by the time I got to it, it was on an island called Nikki. and by the time I got to the treasure, the other team had already buried it up. Buried it up? Dug it up. And it was in, like, my hometown town centre, but slightly changed. And, like, I came out of the person who was organising its office with this, like, map on Hessian that had, like, if you turned it over, it lined up that Nikki had been highlighted. So I was like, "Dun Nikki!" I went to go and, like, to where the treasure was, because it was updating in real time. Like, as I looked down at the map, I was like, it was like a mini map, like I could see me walking around it. As I got towards where the treasure was, the sort of like smuggish person was just like, oh, the chest is over there if you want it. And I was just like, let me find it. Very strange. The end. Bye-bye.
The end.
The end.
The end. So that was like two different dreams, like sort of smushed into one night, right?
Yeah, like I finished recording the first dream and then I suddenly was like, wait, there was more to this.
Were they just kind of like back to back in your brain?
They were, yeah. But for some reason, I must have woken up remembering the first part of it more. And then I guess talking about that triggered the second part of it respawn in my brain.
How weird. That first one was so weird, like with the Joker making everything like scramble, like So your reality was completely different? That's really cool. I like that.
I think that one might have been because, I'd have to check the dates on it, but I think it's because I was editing our last podcast and we were talking about decisions affecting like different universes and that sort of stuff. So I think it must have just been that. Like, I don't know who the person was that I was trying to get rid of them. I love the fact that as Batman, I was just like, I just can't deal with them. Just get rid of them.
Just get rid of them. I don't want
I just
them
can't
here.
Right now. And I think the rest of it was really, because we watched the first episode of Glow, the wrestling show.
Oh, right, yeah.
And that's very 80s. And there's a scene in the first episode where the main character, like Alison Brie, goes to an aerobics class, and it's that sort of like 80s aerobics with the leg warmers and the leotards. And it must have just been that snuck into my brain.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Like, it's just sort of an amalgamation of everything that you were doing in the day.
Yeah.
Or everything you were thinking about. All smushed together. What about the second half of it? Like,
okay, so the second half. The timing of this, I'm pretty sure it was during TwitchCon.
Right.
And I think it must have just been a FOMO dream. It must have just been, well, I'll solve the puzzles on my own then, because everyone else is off solving the puzzles together.
Oh, no. That sounds about right then. If there were two teams of four and then you on your own.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Because I guess it's like, I was seeing all the, High Rollers guys off together, and then all, the rest of the Yogs off together, and I must have just been, you know, team at home.
Yeah, team at home. We wish you were there. Oh, dear. But no, that totally makes sense. Like, it's sort of something you have been, thinking about, all my friends are abroad.
Yeah.
But at least you didn't catch COVID.
True.
That's one benefit.
That was the real treasure I found along the way.
Staying healthy.
I don't know why I found it so funny when I woke up that the island was just called Nikki.
Yeah.
It was like N-I-C-K-Y, just looking at this big map. And I remember it being, like I said, it was on Hessian, and it was this proper, the treasure maps you would draw as a child, and yet the island was just like, oh, Nikki.
That reminds me of when I first started playing D&D. The group that I was playing in, they did a homebrew thing, and we went to a village in this game, and the DM was like, oh, it's called Kettering. And I was like, Kettering? I was like, what? We're going to Kettering? And they were like, yeah, what? It's just a place in the game. And I was like, Kettering's a real place. They were like, what? Is it?
The exotic town of Kettering.
So I had to sort of look it up and be like, yes, Kettering's a real place. I mean, fair enough, use real place names in your game, but he didn't realize that Kettering was a real place. It must have just stayed in his brain when he heard it once. It was so weird. I wonder where Nikki came from.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the Nikki Nine Doors song again. Maybe that's still just lurking in my brain at all times.
And you were looking for treasure, and then you got backseated in your search for treasure.
I know. I'm guessing that I must have been playing a game that day, because I think around then I was playing Slay the Spire. And that can be very use this card. If you had used that, you would have won by now and all of that stuff. So it's probably just that was seeping into my brain.
The backseat is just, it came into your dreams as well. They can't stay away.
And it was that sort of thing of the person on the other team who is quite smug doing the she doesn't know
PC giggle streamer doesn't know the treasure's over there, lol.
We already buried it up.
Oh my God, that reminds me, right? So anyone from my chat that listens to this podcast, this is for you. So I just finished Mass Effect 3, right?
Yeah.
And I played through the whole series on stream. And in the very first game, there was a character in the first mission who was part of our crew called Jenkins. And he died. And yeah. Chat was like, oh my God, you let Jenkins die? I was like, oh, geez, yeah. I mean, he just died in front of me. There was nothing I could do. Like, he just died in a battle. And I was like, where's he gone? Where's Jenkins? And he's dead. So, like, throughout the whole series, Chat's like, oh, there's a really good cutscene if Jenkins is alive here, blah, blah, blah.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, I didn't realize this Jenkins was going to be such a big character. And over and over and over again, they were like, yeah, Jenkins this, Jenkins that. And yesterday, I finished the game, right? I finished the entire game. I was in tears because, God, it's a good game and it's very good, very good. And then credits are rolling and I turn to Chat and they're like, oh, the game would have ended differently if Jenkins was alive. And I was like, yeah, all right, Chat. All right, Chat. And then suddenly someone's like, does she still think Jenkins, like, is a real thing? And I was like, what? And it turns out that Jenkins is scripted to die in that very first mission that I played months ago. And Chat had me believe that he was meant to be in the party the whole time.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And made
the
me
long
feel bad
game.
About it. They were playing the longest game. I even had, it must be a meme in the community or something, in the Mass Effect community, because I had random people come into my stream and say, oh, is Jenkins still alive? And I'm like, oh no, he's not.
That's amazing.
I was just like, are you serious? It's been months. I was like, Chat, how could you? You're so mean.
Oh, fair play to them for not giving it away.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. I was just like, are you serious? I was sitting there crying at the end of the game and I was just like, are you actually serious? You were supposed to die.
Imagine if you hadn't found out
and games.
you got to the end and you were like, okay, because it meant so much to you, I'll do the Jenkins playthrough now.
And I start again, I'm like, oh no, Chat, he died. No.
Okay, start again, right, this time. This time he's gonna make it. We'll keep going until he makes it. This is for you.
Oh my God. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. So yeah, Chat, they're either backseating or they're doing stuff like that. You can never trust them.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Do you want me to have a peepers in my little book for treasure maps?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if map is in here. Map, 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 map. Maze, marsh, map. If you consult a map or an atlas or compass in your dream, it suggests options are open to you in your waking life. That's it. That's all that's in here.
Oh.
What about treasure? Options are open to you, Brainy.
I guess I had the option of going to TwitchCon.
Ah, true.
I could have joined the adventure. I did not.
I did not.
I did not.
Dreams of finding treasure or valuable objects or ordinary objects with magical properties have numerous variations, but the one constant theme is the discovery of something precious and magical. The psychological interpretation of such a dream urges you to seek out what is magical in your life, perhaps in the ordinary things you've been taking for granted. So did you actually find any treasure?
I don't remember what the treasure was. I remember the treasure chest being empty because they'd already dug it up.
Oh, then there's no magic in your life.
Oh. It's been stolen already.
No, it was taken to TwitchCon. Where? Oh, no.
Hello, and welcome to the Eurogamer Newscast. And this week, we're discussing the biggest Xbox leak in history. We're looking ahead to the Switch 2's potential launch lineup. We're asking why there are so many industry layoffs. Or at least that's what I would be saying. If you're listening to the Eurogamer Newscast, hello, I'm Tom, Eurogamer's editor and host of our weekly discussion podcast, where we break down the biggest gaming news stories and share insight from our news reporting team. Head to your favorite podcast app now to listen. Just search Eurogamer Newscast.
Right, shall we have a little listen to the next stream?
Yes, I want to hear what's going on in your head.
Okay, I can't remember which one this is, but we'll find out.
Hello. So I had a dream I was at some sort of festival. There was a huge crowd and a big stage. And I think Ozzy Osbourne was playing. I wasn't really in the dream. It was more just other people. But basically, I was kind of acting as the other person. So there was this other person on a bike, a motorbike. And they went down a ramp, like on the side of the stage. And this ramp went down like underwater. But it went down there to like catch the notes. So the notes of the song that were being played, they went down this ramp, and the one on the motorbike was trying to like ding the notes, kind of like Guitar Hero. Yeah, so obviously because it was a ramp, like they ended up like going all the way down and underwater, and it was kind of hard to get back up. But luckily there was another ramp next to it that went sort of backstage, so after a little bit of driving, I, or this person, who is not me, got up the ramp, and was driving, like, round the back of the stage. And it was all fancy back there. It was all, like, marble and, like, dudes in suits and stuff. And then when I'd finally got around to, like, the right-hand side of the stage, there were, like, two old dudes in suits, like, with glasses and monocles there, and they were like, "How do you carry that bike around?" And I was like, "Oh, like this." And I did something to, like, the handle on the right, and it just, pew, it just shrunk down. And then I instantly just, like, pressed a button and the whole bike just went poof and came back. And I was like that. It's very portable. And they were like, "Wow, very good." At this point, I think Aerosmith were meant to be playing on the stage, and I was trying to get up to like, join in. I thought it'd be cool if I could, like, drive onto the stage and do a sick wheelie or something. But when I got around to it, they'd finished and they were gone. There was just like a member of staff, but it was raining, so I drove over the stage. I was going a bit fast, and I like fell over on the other side of the stage, and like some of the people in the crowd were laughing, and I laughed too. And then my motorbike was a dog, and I was giving people in the crowd treats to feed the dog. And then the dog was Trot, which was weird. And Trot kept trying to get away, and I was like, "No, Trot, I need you to come back here. I need my motorbike." And I think that's kind of it. I think at one point, I think Kim turned up and was like, "We need to sort out Trot's feet." And they pulled out a bunch of like horseshoes. He wasn't a motorbike anymore, he was a horse. But he was just Trot. And Trot was like, "No." but that was it. That was the dream. Goodbye.
It kind of derailed at the end. I don't know what happened.
Oh my god. It was so linear. Like, I was riding my motorbike, there's this concert, there's this, and then all of a sudden, motorbike, dog, Trot, horseshoes.
in my brain.
Okay, so I've looked up motorcycle on a Dream Dictionary website because I don't have my book with me today. This is quite a mixed thing, so bear with. To see or ride a motorcycle in your dream symbolizes your desire for freedom and need for adventure. You may be trying to escape from some situation or some other responsibility in your waking life. Alternatively, a motorcycle is symbolic of raw sexuality.
Oh no.
Perhaps you are moving too fast.
I did crash.
I feel like dream definitions are always just like it could be this thing, which is, you know, like a common. Yeah, or. So I don't know, is there something in your life that you're trying to, you know, just Top Gun motorbike away from?
I don't think so. I have no idea. I don't think so. I'm actually pretty content at the moment. Everything's pretty fine and dandy. And I don't think the sex is too fast.
What, with the was it Garrus that you chose? Did it move too quickly?
Oh god, maybe that's it. Oh no, it took 3 games. It definitely didn't go too quickly.
Okay.
Oh my god. But yeah, no, I don't know. But the whole thing with the water, it was like, literally, imagine a stage. And as you're looking at the stage on the right, there was a big ramp going down into like a body of water and literally going all the way down. So you're going deeper and deeper and deeper. And it was difficult to get out of it. And the ramp that I initially went down into the water was too steep. So I had to use like a secondary ramp, which went behind the stage to get out. And that's why I sort of ended up looping around and going through the posh bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think anything's going too fast. The motorbike was actually very handy. It was very portable, very easy to use. I showed the rich guys. I was like, look at my portable motorbike. It can poof down into a tiny, tiny portable thing.
I guess that's sort of like in games when you just have things in your backpack that no one could actually have in a backpack.
Exactly. One of my favorite video games actually has something very similar to that. You eventually get a boat that you can use and on the overworld. And it's like, oh yeah, it's a magical, like, Magi technology boat. You press this button and it springs out of a tiny box that you can put in your pocket. And you want to put it back, press this button, bam, it's in your pocket again. Pocket boat. And that was pretty much what this motorbike was. Oh dear. But okay. Yeah, I sorry, you go.
So you said the motorbike one didn't, like, that didn't sound right because there's nothing you're trying to run away from. So I looked up horseshoe and it says, to see a horseshoe in your dream signifies luck and success in your endeavors.
Oh, hooray!
So that's why, you know, you didn't have to run away anymore. You've got your horseshoe. Everything's good. It may be bad luck for Trot, though, if he's having it nailed onto his feet.
Yeah, that wouldn't be great for Trot. Sorry, Trot. But you can blame Kim for that. I actually completely forgot about that entire part of the dream, and it still had 30 seconds to go on the recording, and it's like, I think that's it. I was like, what else could there be?
I wonder, did you see the clip recently from High Rollers of when Kim smacked Trot? How would that have timed with... Oh, okay. I was wondering if you saw that. And it just implanted in your head, like, so, Kim wants to hurt Trot.
I did see Trot. I think probably the day that I had that dream. We went to a thing in London. Hat Films, me, Ozzy, and a bunch of others. So I did see Trot, but I haven't seen Kim. I don't know why Kim was chasing Trot with a horseshoe. But I did see Trot that day. Which is probably why he was just there, like, in my brain, like, oh, you saw Trot today. Now he's a motorcycle.
What type of dog did the motorcycle turn into?
Honestly, I can't remember. I think... I feel like it was a big dog. Maybe, like, just a... I can't remember a particular breed. I think it was brown. And it was large, but I don't know anything else other than that.
Had you been looking at, like, I don't know, like Skyrim mods for mounts or something?
No.
Because I can imagine there being one for, like, it just being a fully grown man running along. Or a big dog, or...
Wait, was it
the reverse centaur?
Like, oh my god. What day did we do that? Was that Monday?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my god, it might have been the reverse centaur that did it.
It was, because that was the day that you had to... It was the day before you had to travel away to London.
Yeah,
that's why
I dreamt
we moved
this on
it.
Tuesday. This is your fault.
It was my reverse centaur merged with Trot in your head.
Oh no. We all played Gartic on Monday and Brady kept drawing reverse centaurs. So,
for those of you who don't know, that is the head of a horse with the body of a man.
Yeah. And he didn't have any clothes on. He was just, you know, ass out in very provocative positions. Yeah,
he's
I guess
glorious.
That got burned into my retinas and then made its way into my dream. And then Trot became a horse. I mean, it makes sense, because horses, they trot.
Oh. Amazing. Amazing.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Jesus.
Any fan art for today's episode can be sent
to
you.
Imagine if that was the first piece of fan art we got. Trot as a reverse centaur. Oh no.
Oh jeez. Well, I feel like we've got to the bottom of that dream now.
The bottom of the reverse centaur.
Yeah.
That's the human end. Oh my god. Yeah. So I guess everything was going great. Working hard to get out of that body of water. Lots of good luck with horseshoes, and then Trot became a horse. The end. Dreams have so much meaning. Wow.
Yeah.
This is so meaningful. And mysterious.
So many layers.
like an onion.
Yeah.
Okay, should we move on to our final dream?
Yeah, goodness knows what this is. I have a feeling this is another TwitchCon FOMO dream, but I cannot remember what it is. But I think this was the day after that previous one. So
okay.
Just bear that in mind when you listen. Here we go.
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1, go.
I had a dream I was going to this conference that was being held by this really, like, super rich CEO guy. And when you went in, you had to, like, sign NDAs. But the weirdest part was that you had to put on these shoes that were a bit like those things that they used to measure your feet with in Clarks, but they had a padlock on, like a more like a bike lock, and you put that on and you wouldn't be allowed your shoes back if they found out that you'd broken the NDA, and you couldn't leave because it was all like tracked and stuff. And I was just sort of sat around waiting for the talk to begin. And Greg was there, and he was really like, oh, the CEO, I just need like 1 minute of his time. I need to make this one change before before the game can be shown, but I need him to approve it. But it wasn't for Landlord Super, it was for like, I don't know, it was for like a Stardew-esque type game. But then it turned out that like a streamer had gone missing or something, and another streamer was trying to find them, and he was really upset. So I was like, okay, we'll help you, don't worry. But then like the CEO's dad had escaped, and he was like this like Freddy Krueger character who was chasing people around, and I know we managed to escape, and I was like, I was running around with like two people, I think, and I was thinking, oh, could I make this jump out of this window with my strange shoes on? It was all just very weird. Then I woke up. The end. Bye-bye.
So I agree. I think that might be a TwitchCon FOMO thing.
Yeah, the fact that it first was like, I went to a con and there was a big rich CEO. I was like, oh, what could this be?
What could this mean? Well, not only that, but I had a couple of meetings where I had to sign NDAs, right? And I mentioned to you, oh, I'm going to meet with someone.
Oh, yeah.
I had to sign NDAs, blah, blah, blah. So maybe you just remember that and just dreamed like, oh, I had to sign an NDA and I couldn't talk about something, blah, blah, blah.
Otherwise, so, I wouldn't get my shoes back.
Exactly. They actually did steal my shoes in case I told anyone about the things they told me about. I still haven't got them back. It's like a deposit, you know?
Yeah.
When the things that they told me about eventually happen, I'll get my shoes back
then
in the
you
mail.
Get all your shoes.
Yeah.
Do you remember the things I was talking about? You know, in Clark's, you would put your foot in and they would bring the thing down till it touched your toe, mm-hmm. and then put the strap across. It was like that. They'd bring it down, then strap across, but then they just bike locked your foot into it and you just had to walk around with them just
oh
on your
God.
Feet.
Oh,
so everyone God. Was just like there in like, you know, business casual, flapping around in these big foot measurers with the locks on.
That's how you know that someone's signed an NDA. They walk around with these big foot measurers.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, Greg is the dev of a game called Landlord Super. Very good game. But he was there. He was very like un-Greg in the dream. He was like it was like he was fanboying about the CEO. He was really like, oh my gosh, I really want him to see my game. And he was like just really like overexcited. And it was this real like Stardew, colorful, bright, wholesome game that it made. And yeah, it was I don't know why. Maybe I'd seen Greg recently. Maybe, or I might have just like been looking at Instagram and I saw a picture of him or something. Like maybe that's what snuck into my brain. But yeah, then it just turned into this like horror dream.
God.
Of it turned out the CEO's dad had been like, he'd gone crazy and that's why they'd locked him up in his bedroom for years and the son had taken over and he had escaped and was just going around like attacking all of the people at the conference.
Oh, Jesus.
And I remember just before I woke up, I was trying to climb through blinds. You know those like really noisy white, like the ones
metal
that...
ones.
Yeah. I was trying to climb through the middle of them instead of lifting them up. I was just like, I can fit. This is fine. This is quiet and discreet.
You're
I can
just
do it.
Stuck in them like a cat, you know?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Yeah, it sounds like you've sort of taken things that I said to you when I was at TwitchCon and they've just gone into your brain and become dreams.
Yeah, because I guess that would have been the main thing on my mind that day would just be like, because I guess even if you're not going to those events when so many people you know are going, like, you know, it leaks into your like Twitter feed and Instagram and stuff. So yeah, I probably, my brain was just like, what if we did go? What would that be like?
Well, it sounds like it would have been a disaster. They're all wearing clogs, shoe measures, and there's an angry CEO on the loose. It's a bloody good thing we didn't go. Maybe your brain was trying to justify it, like, oh, you know what? Good thing we didn't go. All this terrible stuff's happening.
Yeah. I'll just stay indoors. I know what's good for me.
It's safe here. Yeah. I have my shoes.
I do sort of, in a weird way, miss when they used to measure your feet in a shoe shop. I don't know if it's just because it was like all part of it when you were a kid, and then
it's
all
part
of a sudden,
experience.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're just like, we're not going to do it anymore. You should, you know, your shoes have stopped, your feet have stopped growing. Like,
yeah,
just know your size.
The thing, like, there was a last time that you got your shoes measured in a shoe shop.
I probably didn't even appreciate it because I didn't know it was the last time.
Exactly.
I let it pass me by.
I don't remember it either. But I remember it happening as a kid. I never had one that had a strap that went over your foot, though. That's fancy.
Maybe I was a regular.
Yeah, maybe. Well, if you were getting yours measured in Clarks, you probably had the fancy shoe measurer. I was in Shoe Zone with the budget one.
It was just a guy called Nigel had written out measurements on his arm and it just vaguely put it near.
Yeah, you probably
get
probably
10, you grow into it. Do you for life, that pair.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much how it went. Thanks, Nigel.
Shout out to Nigel.
Nigel, Shoe Zone Nigel. We get some fan art.
I feel like buying shoes felt like a much bigger thing as a child as well. Like it was in the same, not quite as exciting, but do you remember getting new stationery for the school year?
Oh God, yeah, that was the best.
That's something I miss from childhood. I mean, I could just buy new stationery, I realise, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. That's the thing. You haven't got anywhere to like take it and be like, hey, look at my stationery.
Yeah,
like,
everyone
just,
would have
you just put
like
it on your
new
desk and it's like, now what do I do with it?
I always loved that if we had gone on holiday that year so I could get like a fountain pen from the duty free on the way home and then
aww.
I'd be like, no one else will have this fountain pen. I will be special among my peers.
You remember everyone like trading Parker pen, like ink pods.
Oh, the cartridges.
Yeah, ink cartridges. Like there would just be Parker pen ink cartridges like going around like illegal currency. Like, you know. Oh, have you got an ink cartridge for my Parker pen? Like, oh yeah, alright. I've only got a black one though. Oh, that's all right.
I used to love saving the balls. In a fountain
inside
pen
the cartridge.
Yeah. I just had like a little collection of tiny balls.
Oh my God.
It's ink like, balls, they called me.
See, one thing that kids these days can't appreciate is stealing the ball from a mouse from the computer lab at school.
Oh my gosh. You trickster.
Remember having those balls in your mice? Ugh, it was great. They were so cool. Now we just have newfangled laser mice.
You can't
not
steal a laser.
You can't steal a laser.
You wouldn't download a laser.
But no, I never stole the balls. I was too scared of getting in trouble. But I always thought about it.
You're just there, like the Bilbo meme holding a mouse going, but then again, why shouldn't I?
Why shouldn't I take the ball from the mouse?
I miss those days. Well, I mean, I do and I don't. I don't really
simpler
miss school
times
at all. I just miss new pens.
I do too, honestly. I love getting new stationery.
Yeah.
New stationery, new shoes for school. I never really got new uniform except like at the start of the school year. But the way it worked for our school was year 7, 8, and 9 had a certain jumper. We had a red jumper. And then 10 and 11, we had a grey jumper. Yeah. So at the start of year 7, I got a jumper that was huge that I would grow into. It was absolutely enormous. And then I did the same thing in year 10. But I used to chew my jumper. I don't know if you ever did this. I think I was just a weirdo, but I would sit and I would chew the cuff. So by year 11, the cuff of my arm was completely fucked. I could like just shove my whole hand through it. Because I at one point I like stitched it up and my mom's like, I'm not buying you a new one because you fucking ate it. I like chewing it.
I remember, I don't think I ever chewed it, but I would always have that thing where, you know, it would wear down so you could fit your thumbs through to make sure that your sleeves stayed down. Because I was always like, I liked oversized long sleeves.
Yeah, I used to do that too. I had a friend who had a hoodie that had those holes like stitched in. And I was so jealous.
I remember those becoming the thing when, it's like pre-ripped jeans.
Yeah.
I remember a friend of mine buying a pair of jeans and then just like going ham with a cheese grater, trying to make them look worn.
Cheese grater, cheese.
Yeah, it was just they're like, these are new, but I don't want to look as if I have new things. I've got to make them look really old.
Having new things is not cool. Mom, get the cheese grater. I hope these jeans have pockets so I can fit all the mouse balls in them. Okay, what? I'm kind of glad that we don't have mouse balls anymore because the amount of cat hair that Tab sheds, right? Oh, I would have to clean my balls every day. They would be covered in cat hair. So thank you Steve Jobs for laser mice.
Thanks to Steve Jobs, I don't have to clean my balls anymore. What a wonderful new technology. I can think of this who's Steve Jobs? Lick my balls!
Oh, no, did we know that was about mouse balls? Oh my god.
Well, Jesus. On that note, I feel like we've delved far enough into our minds for one day. About time we left them, really.
About time we got out of our minds. It's dangerous in here.
Yeah.
It's full of reverse centaurs and balls.
I just have this image of your teacher being like, Kirsty, can I just borrow a pencil? And you take your pencil out, balls just spill everywhere, and you're like, don't look at me!
I went out of the room crying, just leaving a trail of balls. Oh my god. Well, on that note.
Thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you everybody. Make sure to clean your balls.
We don't have to anymore.
Oh, that's true, actually. You're not wrong. Thank you, Steve Jobs.
Thank you. Well,
right.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Bye-bye for now.